Some years ago, I read a piece that I can't remember the source of it, but when I read something like this, I sort of tuck it away in my archives, and it went something like this. Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato taught for 50 years, Aristotle taught for 40 years, Jesus ministered for only 3 years. And yet the impact of the finished work of Christ, emphasis here on the finished work of Christ, for 3 years, transcends not only the 130 years of these influential philosophers, but all of the influencers through the years. Jesus painted no picture, and yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Da Vinci received their inspirations from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante and Milton and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, and yet handled Haydn, Beethoven, and Bach, and Mendelssohn. All have reached their highest perfection of melody, hymn, and symphony that they composed in praise of him. Every sphere of human greatness has been inspired by the man from Galilee. The problem is, he is more than just a man from Galilee. He is the Creator God who became man. And that is why his ultimate transformation of the human race is in the salvation of the souls of everyone who would come to him. And my beloved friends, that is something no philosopher, no artist, no musician can accomplish. Only the divine Son of God can bring peace to the human race. Only he can strengthen the weak. Only he can heal the sick. Only he can give eternal life to those who are spiritually dead. Our precious Lord Jesus. Many of you know, when he hung on that cross on Good Friday, and I've been at it all day, reflecting on that. When he hung on that cross on that day, on Good Friday, all of the evil forces rejoiced. But as Jonathan said, Sunday is coming. Sunday is coming. Say it with me. When our Lord and Savior was hanging on that cross, he, in perfect agony, made 7 statements from the cross. Today, I will focus on the very last word. And it was one word in Aramaic, and as it is in Greek, but it's several words in English. Only John, who stood at the foot of the cross with the other Marys, recorded verbatim what that last word was. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus received the vinegar, and I'm reading from the Word of God now, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Mark said that Jesus gave up a loud cry and he died. Matthew said Jesus again gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Luke said, then Jesus gave a loud cry. Only John, in chapter 19 of his gospel, verse 30, can tell us what that last cry was, because he was there. The 3 words in English, "it is finished," is one word in the Greek as well as the Aramaic which Jesus spoke. 3 English words got the meaning of 1 Greek word as recorded in the New Testament. More accurately translated into English is actually 4 words. It has been finished. It has being finished. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Now, if there are kids in the church, I hope they're not going to hear what I'm going to say. I wasn't a very good student in school. I'm going to say, oh, Dr. Yusuf wasn't a good student. So don't listen. Well, one of the things I really stunk at is grammar and syntax. That was the bane on every language I studied. But when I began studying Greek in seminary, it was the first time I began to absolutely value grammar and syntax like I have never done before. I'm going to give you the best example of grammar and syntax, and I hope that you have the same revival that I had all day today. The word tetelestai in Greek is in the perfect passive verb, is a perfect passive verb. Say that with me. Perfect passive verb. Yeah, you can get excited on grammar. How can that be thrilling to you? How can that be thrilling to me? How can the perfect passive verb utterly transform my life and my ministry? Because it means that the purpose of Christ coming from heaven has been fulfilled, that the goal of his earthly life has been realized, that the objective has been achieved, that the end has been reached. It is all accomplished. And then there is one more thing. Perfect passive verb means that while the purpose has been accomplished, the effect of that accomplishment continues on and on and on until Jesus comes back. Here's what it means. Listen to me. The result of that fulfilled purpose on the cross continues forever. The benefits that has been accomplished goes on and on until eternity. The impact of that accomplished work of Christ, the impact of that accomplished will affect us until Jesus comes back. The finished work of Christ dying on that cross will bless millions upon millions upon millions of people from every language, every nation, and every tribe until we join him on the clouds in heaven. Hear me right, please. I've seen with those eyes many, many times, hundreds of times around the world, I've seen how this word, tetelestai, I have seen it hundreds of times, how it affects thousands of lives. In fact, in the last couple of weeks alone, we've seen thousands of lives being transformed by that word, tetelestai, in Australia and in Seoul, Korea, and on the border with North Korea, and everywhere the gospel is preached. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the result of that finished work will endure for all of eternity. "It is finished" means that every nation and every generation, that anyone comes to him confessing their sin, repenting of their sin, and receiving him as their only Savior and Lord, they will be blessed by that finished work of Christ and be eternally saved from hell. I told you I can get personal revival out of that grammar. Certainly, this is the case here. You know, the medieval church taught that the priest and the church have the power to sacrifice Christ on the altar every time the Mass is said. Oh, but thank God the reformers start reading the Greek text and realizing and said no and a million no's. The sacrifice was finished on Calvary. The sacrifice was accomplished on Golgotha. The sacrifice was completed on a hill called the Skull. Therefore, Jesus could not possibly be offered again and again and again at the Mass. Why? Because Jesus said, "The sacrifice that he made is finished." And now he's reigning and ruling in heaven. He's reigning and ruling where? In heaven. And soon he's going to come back and take all of his children to reign and rule with him for all of eternity. Perfect passive means that the sacrifice was once and for all. But its effect, its blessing, its results, its benefit will continue on. Listen to me. The action is finished, but the results continue. The work is done, but the effects continues. Can I get an amen? Amen? But there's something else I need to tell you. I don't want you to miss here. The danger of those who take a verse out of context and run with it and never really put it in context, biblical context, they miss out on a complete blessing. Why do I say this? Because all of Jesus' earthly life, all of his earthly life, all of his earthly ministry time was leading to that one word, tetelestai. Can you say it with me? Can you say it with vigor? God bless you. This is the sum total of Jesus' ministry. The very reason why Jesus came from heaven was perfectly and completely summarized in that word, tetelestai. From his virgin birth to his boyhood to his adolescent years to the manhood to his public ministry, the cry of his life had been, I must finish the work that the Father has given me. I must complete or accomplish the work my Father has given me to do. When he was baptized in the River Jordan, and John the Baptist was overwhelmed, and he said, I can't believe that you're coming to me. You should baptize me. And he said, no, John, let it be in order that I might complete the righteousness. I must finish the work my Father has given me and sent me to accomplish. In his temptation in the wilderness, what Satan was doing, basically, he was giving him a shortcut so he doesn't have to go to the cross. And he was giving him a shortcut to avoid the cross. But he with dignity insisted, I must go to the cross. I must finish the work that my Father has sent me to do. Jesus' entire ministry was built on that one statement, it is finished. I want to finish the work my Father has given me. In the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus saying this word again and again and again. The word is the hour. My hour. My hour. His hour. The hour. He repeats it all the time. As if Jesus was operating with an internal clock that nobody else knew except him. And so in chapter 2, when Jesus attends a family wedding, relatives in Cana of Galilee, and those of you who have traveled to Israel, you've probably been there because it's a church now where the wedding was held in Cana of Galilee. When he attends this wedding, his mother said to him, save them embarrassment, save them shame. They ran out of wine. And he said to her, woman, my hour has not yet come. Nonetheless, he turned the water into wine to save them embarrassment. Oh, beloved, listen to me. This makes it very clear that Jesus was motivated by that hour. Jesus was compelled by that hour. Jesus was propelled by that hour. Jesus came from heaven for that hour. Can I get an amen? You know, in John chapter 7, part of 8, and if you read it carefully, you realize that his half-brothers, because after Jesus was born of a virgin, Mary and Joseph had a bunch of kids, as the gospel tells us. And these half-brothers of Jesus really did not believe in him. And so they were taunting him in the Gospel of John. You see, they said, you know, you claim to be in the Messiah. What are you doing in Galilee? This is not where you're supposed to be. This is not where the action is. You need to go to Hollywood. Go to Jerusalem and declare your Messiahship. Go to the feast and declare Messiahship. But he insisted with dignity. He said to them, no, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. No wonder after the resurrection, his half-brother James literally was martyred, gladly died for Jesus. The other half-brother, Jude, calls himself the slave of Jesus. Many times when the enemies of Christ wanted to kill him, and again, one of the other places that I just love to teach, and the precipice right there where they brought him out of the synagogue in Nazareth and want to push him down, and it's really deep that way down, and they want to push him, he just walked away. They tried to kill him so many times, but they couldn't. Why? Because his hour has not yet come. And in that very famous passage, we celebrated yesterday with the men Maundy Thursday in John chapter 13 when Jesus was washing the disciples' dirty feet. It says, knowing that his hour has come. What is that hour? The hour of finishing the work that the Father has given him. Oh, beloved, listen to me. When I reflect on my own life, and of course at my age now I do a lot of that. It just happened with age. When I reflect in my own life and ministry, I realized how many times I failed to wait for his hour, and I failed miserably. How many times I tried to beat down closed door that he shut. But because it was not the hour, I experienced pain. I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you might not, but I know many of you do. And that is why now often my cry and my prayer has always been, it's your will, not mine. Your timing, not my timing. Your hour, not my hour. Some of you I know probably have been asking for a long time, and you're waiting. How long shall I wait? How long shall I wait for that promotion? How long shall I wait for that job? How long shall I wait for that rebellious child to turn back to the Lord? How long shall I wait for healing? How long shall I wait for deliverance? How long shall I wait for that child that I want? Beloved, instead of crying, how long? Let me tell you, as your brother in Christ, cry, your will be done. Can you say it with me? Your hour for me will be done. Now, I can testify to the fact that his hour is perfect. His timing is impeccable. His hour is glorious. His hour is the right hour. And when Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, that was not a cry of resignation, as some liberals are saying. It is not the cry of sorrow. It is not the cry of helplessness. No, 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 no. It's a cry of accomplishment. It's a cry of completion. It's a cry of fulfillment. God's plan of salvation for every human being, and so many people watching us, millions around the world on Kingdom Sat, elsewhere from every corner of the globe, and here in this beautiful sanctuary, God had only one plan for salvation. Not a smorgasbord, take and leave it, one plan for salvation. For everyone on the face of the earth would come to him and receive his finished work of Christ. Another, some well-meaning Christians would say, God did his part, I've got to do my part. No, 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 you have no part. Hello? You have no part. He did it all. He finished it all. All you need to do to come and receive. Can I get an amen? So what is that plan? That salvation is only possible through the finished work of Christ. But there's more. The entire Old Testament, and if you haven't read my book, How to Read the Bible, you really need to read it. Because the entire Old Testament history tells us that God's faithful people were longing for that word, tetelestai. Abraham, by faith, longed for the day when he heard from the mouth and lips of Jesus, tetelestai. Moses prophesied of that day and when those words can be pronounced, tetelestai. David sang songs looking forward longingly for the day when the word tetelestai is uttered by the Messiah. Prophet after prophet declared the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and longed to hear the word tetelestai. Even the Ten Commandments, and I'll be doing a series on the Ten Commandments in the fall. Even the Ten Commandments, the Bible said they were given to us as a guardian, as a schoolmaster, to guard us until the coming of Christ. Even the Ten Commandments were crying and waiting for the words, tetelestai. The cry of the Ten Commandments, it is not finished. It is not finished what the Ten Commandments tells us. Why? Because there is the coming Messiah who will keep these Ten Commandments perfectly, and he's the only one who could. He kept them perfectly. No one before him, no one after him has ever been able to keep them perfectly because he is coming, and therefore he is the only one who's going to finish the work of Christ. And therefore, when Jesus said, tetelestai, Mount Sinai, bow to Mount Golgotha. Praise God. It is finished. You know, sometimes when I hear some Christians get very excited about hearing that they found a red heifer somewhere in Texas or somewhere in the world. They found a red heifer. And it's going to get building. The temple is going to be built. And that red heifer is going to be offered as a sacrifice. And they get so excited about this. I want to cry. I want to say, no, it is finished. And the Father who watches perfect, sinless, holy Son hung on that cross. Perfect sacrifice to finish his work. Would never again be satisfied with the shedding of blood of bulls or animals. Imagine that. Imagine that. After the shedding of the blood of his son, no animal sacrifice ever atoned for sin again. In Matthew 15:38, it tells us that when Christ died on the cross, the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Why? Because everything that the temple stood for was buried with Christ. Now you and I, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. You and I are the temple where God dwells. And that is why, my beloved friends, please listen. That is why it is awesome responsibility to be daily cleansed and washed of our sin and not wink at sin. The Bible repeatedly tells us that deliberate sin without confession, without repentance, grieves the Holy Spirit. I know in my own life, and sometimes I'll say something and I immediately stricken in my spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I am sorry. I want to ungrieve you. When John saw and heard Jesus say, Tetelestai, he no doubt remembered the words of Jesus. And when I go to the Father, I'll send you the Comforter. I'll send you the Paraclete. And right on schedule, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit powerfully was manifested, and he continued to do the finished work of Christ to this day and until Jesus comes back. Even the symbol of the Lamb without blemish and the sprinkling of the doors with the Lamb's blood would have been meaningless without understanding the cross. The Lamb and the blood do not make sense without Tetelestai. Some of you may ask, how can you preach a whole sermon on one word, Tetelestai? Well, because the whole gospel is in that one word. It's in that word. But there's one more thing. The Apostle Paul said one more thing several times in Philippians. I can do that. One more thing. I don't want you to miss. Please. When Jesus said, Tetelestai, it's finished. Probably, and I'm very careful when I say the Word of God said, probably. He was not the only one who said it's finished. Probably. Not meaning the same thing. Possibly the others who saw Jesus dying on the cross, they said, oh, it's finished. Caiaphas, the high priest who prostituted the religious establishment, probably said, it's finished. I managed to squelch another movement led by another person claiming messiahship. No doubt the Roman authority said, it's finished. One other chapter in this treacherous relationship with the Jews has ended. The crowd who stood there watching that spectacle no doubt said, it's finished. And they went home confused. Even the disciples who heard him say again and again and again and again that he will rise again, they went into the upper room, locked the door, and said, it's finished. And they went fishing. Listen to me, please. All of these finishes are very different from Tetelestai. For Jesus, Tetelestai, or it has been finished, it shook the gates of hell and got the demons trembling. The demons who have tormented the human race for all these years, they were terrified. The chief demon, Satan himself, probably said to them, boys, I'm sorry, we are finished. I've tried to stop him from the cross, but I couldn't. I tried in the wilderness. I've tried to stop him in the garden. I tried to stop him during the trial, but I couldn't. I failed, boys. It is finished. We are finished. Our power is finished. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give God glory. Give God glory. Why did Satan and his demon thought it is finished? Because they understood, they really understood more even than the disciples. They understood that when Jesus said, it is finished, it meant that Jesus is going to give his children authority over demons to defeat them. That he's going to give his children authority to defeat the works of the devil. That he's going to give his children authority to overcome and live in victory day in and day out. You're not excited? I sure am. But that's not all. That is not all. I know some of you come from traditions that think Good Friday should be very sad, and I understand that, but that's okay. When Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is finished. Angels in heaven sang, Hallelujah, it is finished. Abraham, who looked for that day, when heard the word Tetelestai, he rejoiced in heaven. Moses, no doubt, began to sing a new song. I have led them out, but he has led them up. David heard the words Tetelestai, and he began to write the 151st Psalm. When the prophets who prophesied of the coming of Jesus the Messiah, when they heard him from heaven, they sung, Hallelujah, it is finished. Oh, my beloved friends. I get more excited about the finished work of Christ 61 years after I gave him my life than I've ever done in my life. And that is why I go across the street and across the world to declare the finished work of Christ. Now it's time for all people everywhere to repent. The Bible said, for he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world by this man Jesus, and as proof for his judgeship, he raised him from the dead. And my beloved friends, that is why it is not by accident. It's not by accident that after the resurrection, the last words of Jesus, and we only have five times, so probably was said in the 40 days, probably was said many times. But we have them at the end of each of the four Gospels and in the book of Acts. Be my witnesses. Make disciples. As the Father sent me, I send you. This is the message of this church. This is the gospel message, and we have no other message. This is the message that Leading the Way proclaims to tens of millions of people every week in 190 countries. And whether you're here or watching us on KingdomSat or on all the websites, let me tell you this as I come to conclusion. Religion will not save you. Rituals will not save you. Denominations cannot save you. Only Christ, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, can save you. And he can save you today. If you have never received Jesus as your only Savior and Lord, the best day to do it is Good Friday. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? As you bow your heads in prayer, I'm going to ask you, if you have never received that saving work of Christ, delivering you from heaven, from hell and into heaven, I want you to just slip your hands. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward. Just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray with you. Thank you. Anyone? You say, today I want to receive Christ as my only Savior. I never want to miss an opportunity. I've done that and I regretted it. Those of you watching around the world, you can do that. Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. There's some here and some watching. Maybe this is the last chance to hear the gospel message. Father God, I pray that this message would not be a witness against them on that day of judgment, but they will give their life to you, receive you as Lord and Savior, because you have done it all, and all you're asking us to do is to receive it by faith. And Lord, we are, those of us who have known you and walked with you for years, we are eternally grateful for that finished work of Christ. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, praise the Lord. Will you stand up and sing with us? Thanks, Jeremy.